brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Number three, ton of news coming up. Got the former Seattle police chief, Norm Stamper, on. We all watched here in the WTO riots. How about the drug war and a lot more coming up? Well, let's go to your calls here. Let's talk to Kyle in South Carolina. Kyle, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks, Alex. Two things. I just want to say what's up to all the Illuminati out there on Facebook, Illuminati Network. Check us out. And I want to apologize for my home state's representative, Mr. Lindsey Graham. And there is an independent. There's nothing to do about it because there's no Democratic Party really to speak of in the state.
Yeah, but I'd rather put a communist in than Lindsey Graham. You can take one look at that guy and tell that he's a homicidal degenerate. I mean, I don't mean physically. He just looks like a raving demon. And the stuff he does, and that, well, he said things about torturing people, and we will get you, and we will torture you. I mean, that is a creepy guy that I imagine dresses up like a clown in basements. I mean, I'm sorry, psychically, I'm serious. And I got the sense, folks. I mean, I hate to admit this on air, but all I see is him in a clown outfit doing horrible things. I'm sorry.
What?
Guys, do you see that same thing? I mean, put that image of him back up. He screams, I dress up like a clown in basements. I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, what is he beating the war drum again for? We ain't heard nothing from Iran, you know, about Iran in a couple of months.
Because that's demonic. The demons that run his life. The clown demon, you know, oh, Lindsey, yeah.
Well,
the clown demon demands more dead children. The only way he can legally get it done is a big war. When he talks about wars, he gets all excited. He's going, I mean, have you seen it? We ought to do a video on him. I'm not joking. I mean, that's definitely a demonic piece of trash right there.
Well, he'll be here 100 years like Thurman if he lives that long.
Lindsey Graham, that is a disgusting person. I'm sorry, I shouldn't talk bad about people.
You can do it for him.
I'm telling you, I appreciate your call, sir. He is our friend. Actually, I like Lindsey Graham. He's a wonderful person. Wants our guns, wants open borders. He's about like John McCain and just as a total war. I've seen videos where he talks about torture. He goes, we will get you and we will do whatever we want. And I'm like, I mean, there's few people that want to just run jumping, you know, like out of my own skin away from him. Can you imagine? What's his wife thinking? Oh, he doesn't have a wife, does he? Maybe he's married to a demonic clown, actually. That's a little secret there. Let's talk to Keith. I'm sorry, former police officer. I want to talk about gun laws, he says in the comment. Keith, you're on the air, sir.
How you doing, Alex? Just want to thank you real quick. You're the one who woke me up so much so that I went ahead and on the 4th of July opened my own website, and that's where my problem started. I start now feeling and experiencing in a small amount of what you must majorly experience. I've had the cops come to my door. I've had them take pictures of my trash cans, what's inside my trash. But the biggest slap in the face was when I had to go through D.C. recently. I can't carry my gun anymore legally in D.C. because I'm no longer a cop there. I pulled up to a intersection, stopped at the light. Then I was recognized by someone on the side of the street as a cop. His friend started running over to the car. I went through the red light. Got pictures through, or got caught on camera doing it, and after an appeal process of trying to, you know, explain why I went through the red light and everything, the DMV has decided that doesn't matter if I was trying to save my own life, I still went through the light, and I have to pay them $150.
Well, let me break down what happens. They really target former military and police, as they admit. Any purge does that. Hitler, Stalin, Mao, they all do that. And, you know, I would sue them over getting your trash. I would go follow them around. Because, you see, it's actually when you're small at first is when they try to scare you off. So you don't grow into – you fit a profile of a leader. And so that's why they do that. And the answer is intensify what you do 10 times and, you know, just basically seethe with resistance. And just wake people up and stand up for freedom and liberty. God bless you. More calls coming up and more news. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalist on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics, dehumanization, and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cookpot. All in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah. Infowars.com, yeah.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Stamper is known for his roles as the chief of police, the department responsible for Seattle's response to the protests at WTO Commerce at I-9. And, of course, he's also written the best-selling book, Breaking Rank, that I've read great reviews of. In fact, I meant to get him on years ago but was unable to, so I'm glad he's here with us. He's a top cop's expose of the dark side of American policing, and has starred in the marijuana documentary, The Union, the business behind getting high. Cops say legalizeddrugs.com. And my whole issue is lots of areas of Europe have decriminalized, and crime rates of some areas, 50%, they drop everywhere. It takes the money out of it. And he joins us now to talk about that. But I got to tell you, before we go there, just looking at the whole landscape of policing, I know you've spoken out since you resigned, and you know I appreciate that fact. I've agreed with a lot of what I've seen you say on the news, sir. Did you see the Wall Street Journal 2 days ago, The Rise of the Warrior Cop? It's time to reconsider the militarization of American policing. I mean, military kills people and breaks things and occupies. And more, if I go to the Kite Festival, they have the National Guard out with police searching everyone. When if I was a bomber, I'd just bomb the checkpoint. I mean, it does nothing but, I guess, set the precedent that we're all prisoners and defense contractors are selling, you know, $2 million robots to every city, and we've got surveillance drones and blimps. I mean, this is like something out of a Kurt Vonnegut novel. So, Chief, it's good to have you on with us via video Skype.
Thank you. Very good to be with you.
Well, I tell you, I mean, you heard me kind of throw all that out there. What do you think about what's going on?
Well, I need to tell you.
Yeah, we've got a Skype problem with the police chief. We've had a Skype problem with the last few guests, and we're going to get him connected via phone line right now. But we've got a routing issue with our system. And we've established that now, that that's going on. So we are going to connect with him via telephone and do that. Or he'll be the last Skype guest we ever have again with this new precedent-setting system we have. The reason I'm a little frustrated on air is I know it's our system. It does that with every guest now. And I just was waiting for that to prove I was right to happen on air with a giant galactic-sized train wreck. Let's go directly to telephone, guys. This is going to now be the thing of trying to get it to work, and we won't have the police chief on. But another day we will have him on. Let's go to Ryan in Michigan. Ryan, you're on the air. Thank you for holding today to be on the broadcast with us, Ryan.
No problem, sir. I just want to warn everybody out there about that Gardasil vaccine. I had got it before I went to college, and then once I got to college, I started getting real sick a lot, like probably two or three times a month, just like stomach bugs and everything. Then I find out I have cardiomyopathy, and now it's going to be it's just crazy. So I'm in the process of seeing doctors and right now. So I just wanted to warn everybody out there about that. You know, just don't put things in your body that you don't know what it is or what the hell they put in there. So it's caused me a lot of heartache, a lot of money, a lot of time. So.
Yeah, they come out with guilt. They say, turn your guns in or you cause Sandy Hook. They come out and they say, support government-run health care, you're a racist. And people go, okay, I support it. And they've come out in the last 2 years and said, men need to take this. You're giving women this virus. And then the vaccine says it doesn't even protect you from the virus on the insert. And it killed people in the trial. And it's been banned all over the world. And but it's still here because we believe. I mean, why did you get the Gardasil shot?
Because the doctor told me that it would protect me against STDs, and I never got all three of the shots. I only got two of them, and then I left for college. So, and then it's like my mom works for GE Capital. You know, my brother was a veteran. I'm a typical American. Middle class, you know.
Yeah, well, you need to sue Gardasil. Thousands of others are. And, I mean, they knew full well what they were doing. They knew they couldn't put it on the market because all the deaths. So they just had the government mandate it. And it's just terrible. God bless you, sir. And I'm sorry to hear that happen to you. Please warn everybody you can. Wow. Okay. I really wanted to get him on for a long time because he knows so much about what's going on. And he is the best-selling author of Breaking Rank, a top cop's expose of the dark side of American policing, and he was the police chief during the WTO conference and all of that that happened. He's with Cops Say, LegalizeDrugs.com, and also Normal. And again, Norm Stamper, Chief, good to have you on with us. What do you think of the way policing's changed overall in this country?
I'm troubled by it, deeply troubled by it, as a matter of fact. I think in the wake of 9/11 and also because of the impetus or the thrust of the drug war, we have police officers becoming less and less attuned to their own neighborhoods and communities. And quite frankly, I think what we've seen is vastly increased militarization of American police forces, which puts civil liberties at risk, which puts community health and safety at risk as well.
Is is there any way to reverse this? It seems like even establishment folks are starting to get concerned, or will we just be like a third world country now?
You know, I hope there's a way to reverse it. I always believe that there's a way to reverse it. This is a function, I think, of the people deciding what kind of policing they want, because that's pretty much the kind of policing they're going to get. And I really do believe that with the aftermath of 9/11, the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, DEA, throwing money and equipment at local law enforcement, we find even tiny rural police departments with large SWAT contingencies and or contingents, I should say, and we're finding no reluctance on the part of Homeland Security to provide military-grade equipment to the tiniest of departments. An AP reporter called me a couple of weeks ago, one of my reactions to a couple of examples, one in Georgia, the other in Texas. And one was a three-person police department, the other was a one-person police department, meaning that one person was supposed to be cop, the detective, and the police chief. And in the former case, $4 million in recent years granted to that Georgia department, $3 million to the tiny Texas department. There's something wrong with that picture.
Well, there certainly is. I want to get into the whole situation with decriminalization and why you support that, Chief.
Sure.
But first off, obviously, I've got to bring this up. What happened at the WTO? Was that taken away from you by the Delta Force? And obviously, there were provocateurs in the crowd. A lot of police complained that they weren't allowed to go after them. Some of them got housed at that building after, but then the peaceful protesters got attacked. What happened there? What was going on now in hindsight with that, sir?
Well, the long and the short of it is that we thought we were prepared, and we weren't. We thought we were ready. We thought we were smarter than the anarchists, and it turns out, at least in terms of the tactics employed, we simply were not up to it. It's a small city, comparatively speaking, about 530,000 at that time, with a small police force in a small state, a small county for that matter. And the mayor disagreed with me, but I don't think that that conference, the World Trade Organization, should have been held in Seattle at all. But that's another issue. That's a much larger political issue. But I will tell you that looking back on it, I made the biggest mistake of my career during that week, and it now constitutes my legacy in the minds of many people. We were accused on day one of underreacting, on day two of overreacting, and I think the point is that if you've got a very small police force, you've got to make sure that these kinds of events, anything that's got world, international, trade, finance, monetary in its title, should be held in much larger areas with much larger police forces.
Sure. Let me tell you a brief story, and then I can play a clip and then move on to why you're really here today.
Sure.
My reporter, Rob Dew, won a lawsuit. We can't get into details about it, with Pittsburgh. He wasn't part of the protest. I sent a three-man team. He's on a hill. The conference is over. There's college kids out of the park. The police come. Multi-jurisdictions all over the country attack everybody under command of the security of the WTO or the G20 in that case.
Right.
They were running it. He's up on a hill with mainstream media filming it. They come. They check mainstream media. They go, "You're free to go." They arrest him and then brutalize him and don't even care it's on tape. And then he wins a lawsuit. Where does that come from? We have video of girls on bikes at the university, not even part of anything, being hit and knocked off their bike, and then the cop hits her in the head, assault with a deadly weapon, for no reason. What is going on when we see these images of what's happening to the culture?
I think what's happening is that the police, in becoming increasingly militarized over the years, have seen the people as their enemy, have, in fact, in the name of public safety, violated civil liberties and constitutional rights of their fellow Americans. In short, they have abused times, but it's been a very disturbing trend, and it needs to get reversed.
I want to play you a clip from Seattle and then get your final points on that and then shift gears in the drug war, which obviously this all, in my view, the militarization began with. We'll see if you agree with that in a moment. But here is a clip from my film, Police State 2, the takeover from Seattle, just to remind people of what happened. Here it is.
Your conduct is in violation of state and city law, and your failure to leave the area now will subject you to arrest for failure to disperse.
Are you part of an organized protest today?
No, I'm telling you again, you need to leave the footage.
Not only could you not say what's on your mind, you couldn't wear it.
What? Give me that. Sir, let's not get into a big scuffle over here. Okay.
This man had an anti-WTO sticker on his backpack.
He took it off my...
There's no protest down here. You saw what happened yesterday to your city. We're not going to let it happen again, okay?
Not allowed to have a sticker.
Not here.
No protest zone, sir.
Became moot.
He took his butt. Am I right?
He did.
He reached on his butt and pulled it right off.
I asked if I could go through. He said, I couldn't if I had a button, and I wasn't going through the line, and then he ripped it off my jacket.
Now, if I say I'm protesting WTO, I can't go in. If my T-shirt said I supported the WTO, could I go in? That's not a protest.
No protest zone, hence no protest.
Backpacks and bags were also searched for banners or gas masks.
The gas masks are illegal to possess today in the city of Seattle.
How can you mandate something like that?
But you don't know what thoughts are in my head, right?
I have no idea. Are you protesting? Are you protesting? There's no protest zone down there. You go down there and protest, you risk arrest. Okay? I'm just telling you that. You understand that? Okay.
It's a situation that is clearly uncomfortable for those who want to get through to protest and those who block their way.
What we're trying to do is keep protesters out and the business people and citizens go in, okay?
City leaders believe the free speech of yesterday came at too high a cost. That's why, at least for today, the First Amendment ended.
And now with Facebook, they can look and see, oh, you believe this or that, you can't go into the city center. Or all this giant area, it's thought crime. That's where this is all going. Norm, I want to ask you, was that the federal people that told you to do that? And what was your liaisoning with Delta Force?
The answer to your question, Alex, is no. The city of Seattle was responsible for this. We had spent 11 months in planning and preparation. We, of course, had liaison with the Secret Service because Clinton was coming to town to address the WTO, as was Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State, and the country's chief trade negotiator. And so we had a lot of federal dignitaries coming to town. But I will tell you that this was a city and state operation, and it was not our finest hour, to say the least.
I only bring it up because what we see there now is the norm all over the place. And I just read, and I talked to some police officers off record. They said Delta Force was basically in charge. Were you told not to talk about Delta Force?
Absolutely not. I can appreciate people speculating about what went wrong, how it went wrong, who was responsible for it. But you are talking to the guy who is responsible for it.
Sure, but I mean, so what was Delta Force doing?
And I have not, until this moment, heard about Delta Force in conjunction with the WTO. That means you can either paint me as naive or as somebody who's giving you honest answers to who was responsible for what went on that week.
Sure, I understand, but the feds would tell you what they wanted and then you would try to work with them?
Well, the feds basically said, we want to make sure that from the moment wheels are down at SeaTac, the president is safe. And so we obviously did everything in our power to make sure that we didn't have any kind of compromise with the president.
Sure. Well, listen, I really got you on about the drug decriminalization. I just had to ask those questions. We really appreciate you, sir.
Good question. Excellent questions. And it's very painful to listen to what you just played for me. It just it brings it all back.
I'm sorry to do that. I just want to mean,
it's good that you did it. It's good that we all really talk about what's happening in this country, and it is, to me, very disturbing.
So if you had it all over to do again, you don't think we should ban people for having buttons inside their bags?
You know, that's about as un-American as anything I can imagine. We created what the protesters and everyone else under the sun called a no-protest zone. We just called it a curfew area. And, you know, it's it is shades of Kurt Vonnegut. It's shades of George Orwell. I mean, the language that we were using, we embraced. We thought, well, we need a curfew. We need a zone in which, because of the violence that had erupted, principally the result of the anarchists, but also some of our own actions, we needed to do this. And on reflection, we did not need to do it. And,
sure.
You know, I'll live with that mistake for the rest of my life.
Well, wow. We really appreciate your work for trying to keep this a free country, and especially hearing it from your well-experienced, educated perspective. Again, we have the former police chief of Seattle joining us right now. We're also going to talk some about his book. Norm, let's get into, though, the drug war. I mean, more drugs than ever, more police state than ever. What do we do about the drug war?
Well, we end it. We end it yesterday. We never should have started it. It was destined to fail. And it has, in fact, over the past 40 years, been a colossal failure. It has been an obscenely expensive war, $1.3 trillion spent since Richard Nixon famously declared drugs public enemy number one and declared all-out war on them. What do we have to show for it? Well, in addition to the literally tens of millions of Americans who have been incarcerated for nonviolent drug offenses over the last 40 years, drugs are more readily available today at lower prices and higher levels of potency than when Nixon declared this war. Every president since him has signed on to the war. Every one of them has, you know, statements of the present administration notwithstanding, every one of them has just as vigorously as the previous president prosecuted this war. And it has been terribly damaging to the entire country, to our economy, to quality of life, to neighborhood safety. It has fomented unprecedented levels of violence in Mexico and throughout the world. And we're the four-star general, Alex, in this war on drugs. It is time for us to acknowledge the huge mistake we made and end it, replace prohibition, which is a corrupt and bankrupt model, can never work, never has, never will. Replace that prohibition with a regulatory model. You know, a wide variety of ways to approach regulation, but something akin to what we did with alcohol seems to me to make the most sense.
Absolutely. I mean, alcohol kills far more people than even the scourge of drug abuse, and these people really are victims that have a disease. Why are we throwing them in jail? Or just casual users of marijuana. Obama promised he was going to, you know, leave everybody alone. From what I've read, he's done triple the raids on the dispensaries that Bush did, but I guess he has left cover. I think it's disgusting.
I think it's disgusting, too. You're probably aware that my successor in Seattle was Gil Kerlikowske, who is now the Obama administration
yes.
drug czar. And that's two ex-chiefs out of Seattle who could not be further apart on their views about the drug war.
You know, it's funny. I read about how they keep nonviolent people longer than violent. I guess nonviolent do make good prisoners. The private prisons make money. I see where these private prisons are getting laws passed to guarantee occupancy. This is a really dangerous scenario.
I think it's unconscionable. I think it's immoral and arguably unconstitutional and illegal. If you think about it, every time a private corporation builds a prison, builds a cell, they need to sell that cell.
You know, Norm, I know you only had 20 minutes with us. Can you do 5-10 more to finish your point on the side of the break?
I sure can.
Right, because we got you a little bit late and had a technical problem. Thank you so much. We'll see if we can get him back up on Skype as well. Norm Stamper on with us. I couldn't agree with this guy more on the whole police state and drug prohibition. We'll be right back to get his comments on that and then your phone calls.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Alex Jones, myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalist on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics dehumanization and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
The drug war has been a great success for the defense contractors. It's been a great success for the federal government, expanding its power. It's been a great success for bureaucracy, but it has been an absolute nightmare for this country. We consume more drugs than any other nation on earth. You look at the statistics, it is just dumbfounding. And if you look at free market, it's because we have drugs illegal. I'm going to go back to the former police chief of Seattle, Norm Stamper. But if you study, and I want to get his take on this and finish his points he was trying to get to about the prisons. If you look at how the British took over and then colonized China, it took them about 100 years. But China made opium illegal, and so then that created a huge black market, and the British, first few decades, took over the port towns, bought off the police because there's incredible money, bought off the local constabularies. Within less than 100 years, they had the whole country, broke it in 10 and then 12 parts, and the different Western powers ran China for hundreds of years and ran it into the ground, and it's the big reason it's the mess it is today in many respects. I've studied the history. Fascinating history. And Nixon and the rest of the black ops commanders knew full well what the drug war was going to do. That's my piece. In the 7-8 minutes we've got left with Norm Stamper. Norm, you've got the floor. I'm going to try to shut up here and let you get into why you, as a former police chief that has witnessed this, and the statistics, the numbers, the prisons, what's really behind this drug war? What do we do about it? Finish your point about the prisons.
Well, you know, in a word, fear is behind the drug war. And I speak specifically of the fear of elected officials, of our politicians, to really confront this issue the way it deserves to be confronted. Politicians don't want to be seen as weak on crime. They don't want to be seen as weak on drugs. They certainly don't want to be seen as condoning drug use. None of us in law enforcement against prohibition, I want to get that plug in, is of the opinion that anyone should be taking any particular kinds of drugs, including alcohol and tobacco and the like. But we all know that people are, in fact, going to use drugs of a wide variety of forms. So the question that we face, I think, as a society is, do we want these private prisons, for example, just to cite one segment of the population invested in continuing the drug war?
To build these prisons, to fill these cells, and to, in the process, make enormous profits housing nonviolent offenders who are far better off treated in those instances where they've got an addiction problem for that addiction and allowed to stay in their homes, in their neighborhoods, in their communities. We talk about the breakup of the nuclear family. We've done this for decades in the African-American community. Well, for God's sakes, it's a drug war that has produced the lion's share of that particular problem. So we have a public policy that doesn't work. And we have people who have a responsibility for dealing with that who are just altogether too timid to do the right thing.
Getting back to Obama's role, I mean, he didn't keep any of his promises, but that was one thing 5-6 years ago. I thought, well, at least there's no way he's going to lie about decriminalizing marijuana. He must be telling the truth. That's a good thing. And he's been, as the New York Times reported, tripled the drug raids in the 15 states that have decriminalized, and more raids. I mean, here's articles right here. DEA raids multiple marijuana dispensaries in Washington State, where you're from, where you were police chief. I mean, is there any end to this, and how does Obama get away with this?
Well, I come back to this notion that politicians can tie themselves up in knots, can become paralyzed by unfounded fears. Their constituents are way out ahead of them. The polling shows that the vast majority of the American people have concluded that the drug war has been a failure. The majority of the American people believe that marijuana should be legalized today. Two states, Washington and Colorado, have in fact legalized adult use of small quantities of marijuana.
So here come the feds.
Can't punish it to a kid. You can't drive under its influence. Can't rob a bank and try to excuse yourself because you're under its influence. You still got to behave responsibly, but making a choice about what you elect to put into your own body that harms no one else really should be reserved for the individual and not the government.
What about the states' rights issue with Washington and Colorado being raided by the feds on a weekly basis when the states have decriminalized the marijuana?
You know, we've gone beyond decriminalization. We have legalized Colorado and Washington.
That's right, yeah.
We have legalized, but the federal government trumps state law on marijuana. Years ago, Congress classified it as a Schedule I drug, which is an absurdity. But in so doing, they basically gave the federal government jurisdiction over marijuana enforcement. Now, so far, we have not seen the federal government move into either of these states to do what they theoretically, legally could do, and that is upend our laws altogether. I think if they did that, they'd be making a huge political and strategic mistake. But in the end, I think we need to send a message to Congress that marijuana needs to be rescheduled, and the states, apropos of your comments, the states need to be given the freedom to make their own laws along these lines. happens.
Sure. Why do we even have states if they can't do things like decriminalize or legalize marijuana? And sure. And I understand they call it legalization, but there's still regulations, there's still laws, there's taxes, there's control. I just call that decriminalization. You can call it legalization, but...
Well, and in fact, Alex, the distinction is important because, you see, if you don't legalize it, if you merely decriminalize it, it makes it an infraction. You're not going to go to jail behind a marijuana charge, a simple possession charge, but you are still considered a violator.
Ah.
So the product itself continues to be illicit. And as long as it's illicit, obscene profits will be made as a result of that classification.
Exactly. I mean, look at what the drug war's done to Mexico. It's a completely failed state. Can you give us your expert opinion on that?
I certainly can. I grew up in San Diego, a border town. I spent a lot of my earlier years in Mexico, and it's just heartbreaking what has happened in that country. The levels of violence, upwards of 70,000 homicides since 2006.
Wow.
All attributable to U.S. demand. A big portion of that, of those deaths and of the profits of the cartels is traceable to marijuana trafficking.
Yeah, when I was a child, we went to Mexico like three times a year. It's just a jewel. And we'd go into the mountains in the north. We'd go down to Chichen Itza in the south, Yucatan, all over. We didn't go to Mexico City. It was bad then. But now, you can't go anywhere in Mexico now, even the controlled areas where it hasn't collapsed to a certain extent. Very sad.
It's tragic, and we are the proximate cause.
I want to get a little bit into your book and any other points you think are important to make, and I hope we can have you back again because I think this is just an amazing interview. I hope that everybody will get involved and go to copssaylegalizeddrugs.com, but I wanted to raise this point to you. I'm seeing the sanity movement really gain ground with libertarians, conservatives, you know, of course, liberals, but really grow. Where even 10 years ago, most of the police I talked to in Texas were like, you can't legalize that. Now all the cops I talk to know that this is a total failure. No, it's destroying the society. No, it's been an excuse to militarize police. And, I mean, I know very few police that aren't corrupt and aren't making money off of it who aren't part of the narcotics teams who aren't for decriminalization or legalization. And as you said, the polls show that. So here's my question. What's going to happen if they keep fighting this for another decade where every cop on the force at one time or another has smoked marijuana or everybody knows it's nothing compared to alcohol? And I'm not a pot guy. I mean, I like alcohol more, and I think it's actually pretty destructive. I mean, what's going to happen in this hypocrisy where we all know that it's just a way to have the government run our lives and for corrupt drug dealers to make money? I mean, how long can this fraud go on, police chief?
Well, you know, I guess getting into another vice, we could take bets on how long it's going to go on.
Yeah.
My theory is hypocrisy crashes of its own weight eventually. The way to speed up that eventuality is for people to become organized, mobilized, agitated, educated, and to make their views known. One of the most encouraging trends that it's wishful thinking, but I am detecting is liberals, conservatives, libertarians coming together to appreciate that there is nothing socially worthy of continuation of our drug war, that it's done altogether too much damage, and it's time for us to unite to end that war.
Absolutely. If you had to take bets on it, I think it's going to be, I think in the next 5 to 7 years, I think it'll totally collapse. But then what are the big banks going to do that are busy laundering the proceeds across the board?
Well, you've got money laundering, you've got the private prisons, you've got the drug enforcement industry. These are all influences and forces in our society and the structure of our economy who are tied to these profits. They're going to have to use their imagination. They're going to have to buck up and recognize the value that will come from ending the drug war. And I personally believe that is going to happen, whether they're forced to come to that conclusion or they simply muster the spine and the honesty to say, I've known for a long time that this is foolish.
Absolutely. A few minutes, then we'll let you go. I know you're a busy man. Former Seattle Police Chief Norm Stamper, one of the most famous police chief really in America. You can't don't really know the names of any of the others. You know Daryl Gates, you know Norm Stamper. You don't know really many others. And we have the Austin Police Chief on routinely, Artie Saveda. But expanding on this, Norm, your book, I was mailed 2 or 3, 4 years ago, whenever it came out, I was mailed a magazine that had an excerpt of it and thought, wow, and read part of it on air. I meant to get the book and read it. I don't normally put plugs out for books I haven't read, but it seems like it had a lot of really good knowledge. I know it sent shockwaves through law enforcement, and a lot of police chiefs responded for or con. But Breaking Rank, a top cop's expose of the dark side of American policing. Spend a few minutes plugging your book and crystallizing what the dark side is.
Well, the dark side for me is all those isms that we hear about that can be reduced to arrogance or to bigotry, and the tendency to continue doing things that we know are failed policies. And that runs a pretty good gamut. Our approach, for example, to domestic violence. I personally believe that violence in the home is a precursor to pretty much all other forms of violence. The drug war I've mentioned, we've talked about at some length. I think we also need to take a look at the increased militarization, irrespective of the drug war, that finds its way into the policies and the procedures and the practices. The police response, for example, to the Occupy movement produced a number of very disturbing images, and I'm thinking, you have to police these events. You certainly have to ensure for the public safety of everyone. But when we overreact to these situations, we essentially render ourselves, I think, un-American. I also believe very strongly that we need to look at other so-called victimless crimes, at consensual behavior between adults that harms no one, and that winds up being subject to American criminal justice laws and the criminal justice system. So it's a book with 30 different chapters and 30 different topics, each one at least marginally different from the previous and the following.
Well, I want to read it. And, of course, you have your own site. You have a plug. It's normstamper.com.
I do.
All right. Well, we really appreciate your time today, and I totally agree with you on the whole drug war. I mean, it's not even agreeing. It's just an admitted fact. Even the Mexican government's saying they're going to have to decriminalize, even though they love laundering the money, they love being paid off. They're not going to have a civilization if they don't stop this. And I really see us going the direction of Mexico if we don't turn it around. And I appreciate your courage to say that the Seattle thing was wrong. And in hindsight, you don't hear that from a lot of folks, but that's the mark of a real humanitarian. Any other tidbits, police chief you'd like, the former police chief of Seattle, you'd like to add for folks?
Yeah, community policing. I think there was a chance back in the 90s that we would actually see some small number of police departments embrace what I consider to be authentic community policing, and that is the community policing itself with help. A lot of help from the police, naturally, but other organizations as well. We used to say popularly, you, the community, you need to be our eyes and ears. Well, I think it's time for us to turn that on its head and say, with one voice or as many voices as we can pool together to our local law enforcement, you are our eyes and ears. I was on another program yesterday with a woman who had a man who was stalking her and perhaps even some of her neighbors. She went around to every single one of the neighbors and with a photograph of this guy and said, do you know him? Does he cause you discomfort? So on and so forth. And they did talk to their police, their local police. This happened to be in L.A. And they got advice. They got counsel from the police about what to do and what not to do. You know, ways to avoid a George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin incident. By the community becoming organized and mobilized and making decisions about how they want to achieve public safety in their own neighborhoods.
Well, exactly, because when you have the police militarized, it turns into an occupying army. They then have an attitude that they don't like you, you don't like them. That creates the division that authoritarian forces want in this country. And then I see fake community policing that just becomes secret police stuff versus police really assigned to an area where there's humanity and you know them, and so everybody treats each other like humans.
That's exactly it. That's my dream for policing.
Well, that sounds like almost like the old-fashioned thing. I mean,
it's you know, sometimes I myself included, we get romantic about the old B-cop days, but there was so much to recommend it. You knew the B-cop knew you, would know if there was anything suspicious in the neighborhood. You know, I think the community needs to take a much more active role in its own health and safety and well-being.
Wow.
But the police are a part of that partnership. And, you know, an authentic partnership is 50-50, right?
Absolutely. Norm Stamper.
It's the senior partner, it's the community.
NormStamper.com. Norm, hope you'll come back. Thank you so much.
I would love to. Thank you, Alex.
All right, there he goes. All right, folks, final segment coming up. I'll jam some calls in. And that was a really good interview. Glad that happened here today. Great job with the crew as well. Stay with us.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cook pot. All in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
From the makers of Blockit Pocket, we bring you a serious message about the health risks associated with cell phones and wireless devices. Studies have shown that long-term exposure can contribute to an assortment of health risks. Blockit Pocket offers you two new products designed to help alleviate your concerns. See these two remarkable products at blockitpocket.com. Call 888-315-9618. Free shipping to the lower 48. Blockitpocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Bill Carroll here for Blue Tax. Just because the IRS says you owe them a lot of money, are you just going to do what? Throw your hands up in the air and write a check? What are you doing? You got to fight this stuff. Here's what you need to do. Make a free call to Blue Tax right now. Get a second opinion. You got to do at least that. 800-501-7730. Don't let the IRS push you around with collection calls and bank liens and levies and property seizures. Let Blue Tax share some stories about people like you that were being harassed by the IRS and didn't owe what they were told initially. Or they'll tell you stories about how they stopped all IRS collection actions the same day, or how they helped set up installment agreements or got debts reduced through the proper submission of an offer and compromise. Call Blue Tax right now. It's a free call, totally free, and it can save you a fortune. And get the IRS off your back today. Blue Tax, you can trust them to help you here. Call Blue Tax now at 1-800-501-7730. That's 800-501-7730. One last time, 800-501-7730, or visit BlueTax.com.
We'll be right back. getting guests on. They bring different perspectives. And for me, it's important to settle down because I don't get into maniac mode when I got a former police chief on. I mean, I do just sometimes just rant for hours on air, and I've got so much news I wanted to get to. I covered a lot of it. I may just go to a segment of the nightly news tonight to get to the rest of this. I just can't believe the House rejected a bid. And even the bill they had was just a whitewash of illegal spying. They won't even do that. And it's just going to get worse, folks. If you drink lard every day by the gallon, you're going to have a heart attack. You know, it may take a while, but it's going to happen. I mean, we know where this goes. No checks and balances, criminals will take over. And it's just getting worse and worse. And I just want to have a future for my children. And I tell you, you know, I don't use illegal drugs, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even use prescription drugs. And I know we've got to decriminalize. And it just creates this big excuse to get in our lives. And the government and criminal interests bring the drugs in. I mean, that's on record, too. I mean, it's just all a big joke being gamed. Let's go to Eric in Canada. Thanks for holding her on the air.
Hey, I heard today that Adam Kokesh's bail is paid, so he should be out soon, and hopefully you can talk to him.
Yeah, no, I've talked to Adam a bunch of times out of jail, but they're hanging up on him. He calls me, and then it hangs up, and then his people call and go, well, are you hanging up? And then I talk to them. They three-way, then it hangs up on them. They're definitely hanging up on his phone calls. And I've had them for hours trying to interview him and do it all. But, yes, we'll get him on. The guy, again, arrested, folks, for loading a shotgun in D.C. in defiance of the unconstitutional law that was overturned 5 years ago, D.C. versus Heller. You heard he was bailed out today?
Yeah, that Daryl paid his bail, and he's out today. Also,
let me stop you then. Yeah. Guys, they've been calling us. We've tried to get him on, do his recording. He said he'd give us the first interview. Let's get him on the Nightly News tonight. If they want, I'll do the interview. Let's call all their people. Good job. Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Also, I hope you get on the JRE soon. I also want to know, do you think Joe Rogan is not letting everyone know that he knows more than he knows? Because I think he holds back. I think he knows a lot more, and he's just playing it right so he can get on TV and get paid well.
Are you talking about the Joe Rogan podcast?
Yeah.
Joe has, like, given up. Because every time I'm in L.A., I'm there for, like, a day and a half, and I've got something else I've got to do, and his podcast is huge. And he kind of gets irritated when I ask him to come on, and he goes, why haven't you been on my podcast? And I go, why don't you do Skype? But I think he's starting to do that. But I want to go out and see Joe. I mean, I want to go out and be on his show. And I don't think Joe is holding back on anything. Joe used to be a lot more high-strung. He's a lot more laid back now. And he tries to see all sides of things. He's more like a Zen master now. I've known him since like 1998. And, I mean, he does know a lot. The guy's super smart, obviously. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about him. He's a good friend of mine. What can I say? Do you have any comments on that? I mean, I don't think Joe's holding back. I don't think he would be penalized. I mean, Dana White lets him say and do whatever he wants. I don't know. I just think Joe's laid back. He's, he takes that view that what's going to happen to humanity is going to happen. What else can I say? What do you have to say to that?
He also has a new show coming on called Joe Rogan Questions Everything. I think it's on a Sci-Fi network. He just went to that big conference with Ray Kurzweil. He likes Ray Kurzweil.
He's into life extension technology and all that stuff. And, I mean, if Ray Kurzweil invites me to something, I'll go to it, and I'll tell him I disagree with him. But, yeah. No, I know. I was offered a show on Sci-Fi Network. Well, they wanted to look at doing it here every day and all this stuff. I just have time to mess with it. So I'm glad Joe's doing that as well. Joe's a very talented, funny guy. I'm going to do a little bit of overdrive. Take a few of your calls. Stay with us. Infowars.com/show for the free video feed.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, units. We have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine. Hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.